Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Copy of the Word of God, and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of Jeremiah, the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, and chapter number 17. The book of Jeremiah, and chapter number 17. As we're going through this series, we see the theme of it is that the weeping prophet to a backslidden nation. That here's a nation that is not right with God. Here is a nation that is slid away from where God wants them to go. This is a nation that has moved further and further away from God. And it has been evidenced time and time again. Now we come to Jeremiah chapter 17. In the very beginning of it, there's hope. There's always hope that our hope is steadfast and sure. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in the Lord. But after this message of hope, we could go back and see where the people, they are in their hearts. And if we look in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, let's pick it up starting at verse number 19. Jeremiah chapter 17. And notice with me in verse number 19, the Bible says this: Thus said the Lord unto me, Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all of Judah. And all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in the gates, or bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their necks stiff, that they may not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but to hallow the Sabbath day, and do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes riding on the throne of David, riding in chariots on horses, they and their princes and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places of Jerusalem, and from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden even upon the entering of the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and shall not be quenched. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, there's a word that pops up over and over and over on this, but perhaps you'd just like to mark one or two spots. For example, verse 21, where it says, the Sabbath day. Verse 22, the Sabbath day, the Sabbath day. And with the Lord's help, notice this, with the idea, the instructions given with the Sabbath day. And I'd like to preach a message from this passage dealing with the law of the Sabbath. The law of the Sabbath. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you now, we're just asking that you would just be with us once again. That you would open up the Bible and give us special understanding. Give us discernment. Help us to understand about why you give things, to understand that our response to you indicates our heart towards you. I'm asking that as we come up to you now, that you do something special Again, I'm asking for us to have wisdom and discernment by your precious Spirit. Once again, I ask that you fill me with your Spirit. I reckon myself dead, and that you get accomplish your own work tonight through your precious word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Here we see God getting across with the people the idea of the law of the Sabbath. Now, what God has instructed Jeremiah to do was to go outside a certain gate of Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem is one of the cities that has walls around it. And so people to come in and out of the city, they had to go through one of the gates. And what was happening is that people were going outside of the city to go ahead and do work. They went to work. They went to go haul their stuff in. Maybe they to run marketplaces, to run their crops, to do all this stuff. They would go bring all their burdens, bring it into the city so that way they could sell it to make a profit, to do all the stuff they were going to do. And so God instructs Jeremiah to go outside the gates and to watch all the people going back and forth and working on the Sabbath day. And as they to watch, he was to give them all a message. Basically, the preachers outside watching people go in and out of Walmart, to go in and out of the city, to go in and out. And he's preaching a message while this is happening. Notice with me once again in verse number 19. Jeremiah 17 verse 19. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed. That word take heed carries the idea, pay attention to yourselves. Watch what you're doing. Notice what is going on in your life. Take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of the city, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I have commanded your fathers. Now Jeremiah is out there, and as people are carrying the burdens, he's saying, hey, you remember what God said in the Bible in the book of Exodus chapter 20? That you're supposed to keep this day separated unto God? That during this day, as you take it to honor God, you keep it hallowed to him, that you're not supposed to carry a burden. You're not supposed to do any work. You're not supposed to do all of these things. And he's preaching them. Now, God had given a specific instruction, and there's a purpose for it. He explains later on in Exodus 31, this is to go on. Why do we have the Sabbath day? Is it because God wants to have control over our lives? No, it's because God understands that we can get so busy that we fail to spend time with God. And the purpose and the principle of the Sabbath is to set aside a day where we make sure we spend time with the Lord. You understand, we're busy people. And the more time-saving devices we have, the busier we become. It's kind of opposite. We have all these time-saving things, and all it has done is made us busier and busier and busier and busier. And now we're so busy that we can't even imagine taking time, taking a day, and spending it to serve God. Because what happens for most people is they work Monday, they work Tuesday, they work Wednesday, they work Thursday, they work Friday, they work Saturday. And finally, they have one day off and they use it to catch up with everything else. And they fail to set it aside and spend time with God. That they say, I'll get to you later, God, when I got time, but I've got to do this. And we don't take the time to pay attention to God. You know, sometimes people will say, yeah, I give God that day, but it's almost like talking to someone on the phone where they do all the talking and you go, You play solitaire, you do something else, and you just nod to yourself. You know, maybe you have one of those friends that you could set down the phone, walk away, come back and go, and they haven't even noticed you're gone yet. You know, sometimes we pay attention to God just like that. Yeah, and we're doing other things, and God doesn't have our attention. You understand, you could sit in a pew and your mind not here. It is checked out somewhere else. It's taking care of bills. It's taking care of this. And I've got to get this when I get home. And this is going on. And this is going on. And God does not have your attention. You understand what the principle of the Sabbath does? Is it reveals your heart towards God. Is God worthy of your time? Are you willing to obey his command to stop and use that day to think about him? It reveals your heart towards God. Now, I understand that there's a thing called providentially hindered. For example, when I served in the military and in the hospital, hospitals don't shut down on the weekends, and the military does not shut down on the weekends. So I understand that there are providentially hindered. I didn't have the privilege of saying, I know that you guys want me to work and there's lives to be saved and I've got a responsibility to patients. But you know, this is the Sabbath. This is the Lord's day. This is the day I've got to go to church. And so I'm going to leave. I didn't have that privilege. I didn't have that. If the military says you're going to work on Sunday, guess what? You work. So I understand there's an idea of providentially hindered, and that what we could do is that if you do have to work on the Lord's day, you could pray that God would open up the opportunity that you could be faithful. There's other things. So again, I understand there's providentially hindered. I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking about when you don't have to go to work and you still don't give it to the Lord. When you're not have your arm twisted, when the ox is not in the ditch, and you don't use that day to give to the Lord with your mind, your heart, your spirit. This is the idea that God is getting across. Am I worth it? Are you willing to obey me and give me your attention? Am I worth that much to you that you're willing to set aside? You know, there are some people in our lives that when they talk to us, we set aside everything and pay attention to them. And there are some people that we don't care about that much and we kind of do our own little thing while we nod our head and listen. Where is your heart towards God? Does he have your attention? Or do you just kind of nod your head, yes, 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 while you're trying to get something else accomplished? Now, what Jeremiah is preaching forth, you could just imagine the response that he got. He didn't probably get a lot of thumbs up and say, you keep going at it. Yeah, that's good stuff. How did they respond to Jeremiah as he's outside the gate saying with an open Bible? Nope. The Bible says that you're not supposed to be working. You know better than this. You know what the law says. You know what the scriptures say. You know what the Ten Commandments say. Verse number 23. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear and receive instruction. That what happened, that no one went up and said, you know, I never really heard this. I want to hear more, Jeremiah. They all stiffened their neck and gave him a look and went on and did their own thing anyway. How dare that preacher tell me what I'm supposed to do? How dare he? Doesn't he know I've got a business to run? Doesn't he know I'm busy? I got to get this stuff done. How dare he tell? And they're upset. They're not happy at all that the preacher would say, well, this is what the Bible says. And so what goes on is that God goes through and gives them a promise. And we're not going to dive through here and stuff. We're going to take a principle from here. What is God trying to teach? What is he getting across? Well, let's go to the source, if you don't mind. Turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus in chapter number 20. Exodus in chapter 20, the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. And in Exodus 20, we have what is commonly called the Ten Commandments. 10 basic rules of righteousness, 10 basic rules that God gives to learn more about him. Remember, each one of the Ten Commandments' main purpose is to show us, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And we have what is called the fourth commandment listed in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and notice with me in verse number 8. Exodus chapter 20 in verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day. And to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the thy stranger which is in thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, this is a commandment that God made. You are to work 6 days, that's all yours, but give me a day where you take time to pay attention to me. Now, this isn't necessarily a day off, and we'll get into this more in a second. It is a day where we take time to put our attention completely on the Lord. Put ourselves at his disposal, to look at him, to find attention to him. And by the way, this is a Ten Commandment. This is one of those Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, to honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Those Ten Commandments. Now, we know that there's nothing in the New Testament that nullifies it. This principle is still in effect. Now, God has made us in a certain way. Remember in Genesis chapter 2 that God made the world in 6 literal days. And on the seventh day, God rested. Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. That God rested on the last day. And that was a principle that he set up from what he did as a pattern to follow. You understand that people who hate God have done experiments with our work week. For example, during the French Revolution, the people said, "We hate God, vive la France." And what they did is they switched it to a 10-day work week. Remember, this is the people who gave us the metric system. So they said, 7's not a round number, let's make it 10. Let's make it even 10. So people could work 9 days and rest on the 10th. Well, you know why that didn't stick? Because people couldn't handle it. Remember, God is a great designer. And he made us correctly, and he knows what we need. We need 6 work days and a day to set aside. That's how God made us. Joseph Stalin and the communist movement, he hated God. And he said, we got to get rid of the 7 days a week calendar because it reminds us too much of Christianity. It reminds us too much of God. So we'll get rid of the 7-day calendar, 7-day week calendar, and let's go to 10 days a week. And once again, they were able to work 9 days and rest the 10th. And it failed because the people could not operate on such a schedule. Because God knows what he's doing. God does know what he's doing. And so what we see is that God is the one who established this principle. From the very beginning, God worked 6 days and he rested the seventh as an example to us. And he created us to follow in that pattern, to be able to have 6 days, but on the seventh to stop and to use it to pay attention to him, to look to him. Now, we understand that as New Testament Christians, we don't have a Sabbath day. That's the last day of the week, or what we would call Saturday. We do not keep the Sabbath day, but the principle still remains. Remember, it was God that changed us from going from the Sabbath to the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, which we call Sunday. That it is God that changed it, but the principle still remains that we have 6 days and we're to take a day to honor the Lord. Take a day to pay attention to him. If you don't mind, let's quickly look some passages just to prove my case that it wasn't man that changed the day on the calendar. It was God that changed the day on the calendar. Notice with me in John chapter 20. And then I'll get to my point in just a second, but I want to make sure that we're on the same page, that we're not teaching something that we're changing back to the Sabbath and we're going to meet on Saturdays. We're talking about that God has the principle still in effect that we're supposed to take a day to pay attention to him. That has not changed. The day of the week that we need to do that has changed because God modified it. God changed it. Notice with me in John chapter 20. John chapter 20 records that the day that Jesus rose again, John 20 and verse number 19, notice this, John 20 verse 19. Then the same day, that's the same day that Jesus rose, at evening, being the first day of the week. So class, what day of the week was that? It was a Sunday. It was the first day of the week. The same day at evening time, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins they refrain, they are refrained." Now, what it is, it's talking about a meeting the same day that Jesus rose again that the disciples were assembled. Now, we're establishing a principle. This is why we call it, by the way, the Lord's Day. It's the day we set aside to remember that Jesus rose from the grave. We just don't celebrate it once a year. We celebrate it every week that we remember that Jesus rose from the grave. Notice as we go on in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is meeting together at a church meeting as he's preparing to go back to Jerusalem. And he stops and decides he's going to preach just for a little bit. And notice with me in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And notice with me in verse number 7. "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight." So what happened? This is the first day of the week. This is when the disciples were in the habit of joining together. Again, we had it established the very day that Jesus rose again, and the disciples continued the habit of meeting on the first day of the week, and that's the day that they had preaching, was on the first day of the week. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So we know that the disciples met on the first day of the week, and they continued the habit of meeting on the first day of the week. We know on the first day of the week they had preaching. Guess what else they had at a good old-fashioned church service on the first day of the week? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, notice with me in verse 1. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so ye are do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when they come." So not only is there preaching in the meeting that they have together on the first day of the week, they collect an offering on the first day of the week. Man, that kind of sounds like a church service, doesn't it? They have preaching, they have an offering. You know, we even see that in the book of Revelation chapter 10, or 1 verse 10. We're not going to turn there. But guess what? You know when John had his revelation of Jesus Christ? On the Lord's Day. That's where it actually refers to the first day of the week as the Lord's Day. And so this is just some examples that it was the Lord, not man, that changed the Sabbath, or that we no longer take the Sabbath day, but we put it to the Lord's Day. And so the principle still remains, we are to take a day where God has our full attention. Now, let's get to the message. That was introduction. What is the message? Here is the message. How should we approach the Lord's Day? That God says that as a principle, we are to take a day where we give him our attention. Take a day where he can speak to us, use us, that we set ourselves at his disposal. How should we approach this day that God has set aside? How should we approach it? Well, turn with me back to the book of Exodus chapter 20. And let's just see what the Bible has to say. Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments, where we were at the very beginning. And the very first thing we understand, how should we approach the Lord's Day? It should be, first of all, it should be a day of reverence. It should be a day of reverence. Notice with me in chapter 20, and notice with me again in verse number 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now notice, there's some important words in here. First of all, we come to the idea of the Sabbath. The word Sabbath literally means a day of intermission. It is a period of change. So what the Sabbath day is, it's a day of intermission. It's a day that we set aside to pause It's a day of change. It's a day we take time to reset and look towards the Lord. Notice another word in here in verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep. Notice that word keep. That word keep carries the idea to hedge about. It carries the idea to guard and protect. You see, this is a day of reverence that you have to fight to guard and protect. You know what happens is that we usually use it as our overrun day. We use it to catch up on everything else that didn't get done. And you know what happens? That the more that you allow that to happen, the more stuff that has to be done on that day. You have to fight for that day. You have to keep it to reverence it. You have to protect that day. You have to fight for it. The Bible says that. To remember the Sabbath day, to keep it, to guard, to protect it. And then notice it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That word holy carries the idea of separated unto God. You know what this says? That we are to take this day of intermission, this period of change, and we're supposed to guard it and protect it to make sure that it stays separated unto God. It's a day of reverence. It's a day of taking this day and making it special and giving it to the Lord and protecting it and honoring God through that day. How else should we approach the Lord's day? First of all, it should be a day of reverence. It should also be a day of rest. Now, here we need to define our terms. What do we mean by a day of rest? Does that mean that you just lay at home and just stare at the ceiling and go, get in your hammock in the backyard with a nice cool lemonade and just... What does it mean by rest? Well, I'm glad you asked. You know, the best way to define a word is to see how the Bible defines it. Turn with me to the book of Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. In Exodus chapter 31, God gives another commandment dealing with the Sabbath day. And notice with me in verse number 7, chapter 31 and verse 17. It is a sign, it's talking about the Sabbath. So the Sabbath, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. And notice this, and on the seventh day he rested. Notice this next phrase now, and was refreshed. You understand, this isn't a day where you lounge around. This is a day where you get refreshed by the Lord. That you spend time with him. And spending time with him and honoring him and thinking about him is refreshing. To be with him, to reset everything, to put aside everything and to be with him. That's the refreshing we need. You know, if it's going to be a day of rest, there's some preparation that needs to be done. Because there's sometimes that it doesn't feel like a day of rest. Some of you who have children, you might remember this. That you wake up, oh no, we woke up too late. We hit the alarm clock too many times and hit snooze. Oh no, come on, we got to hurry up. We're going to be late. Where's your shoes? Oh no, you stained your clothes. We got to find, oh come on, you didn't wash your clothes. How many of you remember that kind of phrase? It doesn't sound very refreshing, does it? You understand that if you're going to take the Lord's day and have it refreshing, there's some forethought and some planning. You know, for the Jewish people, their day began at the night before. And so it began at sundown. You know, if we're going to prepare for the Lord's day, there should be preparation that needs to be done. That, first of all, common sense, to go to bed a little bit earlier. You know, don't use Saturday to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning because you're not going to be ready to listen to the Lord the next day. You're going to be just staying awake if you can. Now, I understand night shift workers, that's what you got to do, but I'm talking to non-night shift workers who decide that they're going to use it to catch up on video game time or a movie marathon. You're not going to be refreshed and ready to hear from the Lord. You know, practicality for us parents to have all the clothes setting out, to know where the clothes are. Sometimes, isn't it amazing how kids can lose clothes from just a couple minutes' time? Where was it at? Come on, you know better. There's some forethought, planning. Have the shoes found. Have the socks, have it set aside the night before. By the way, it doesn't hurt for adults to have it set aside too. So you don't look Sunday morning and say, I have nothing clean. That's not the time to find that out. It's set aside, planning, forethought. You know, so many people use the Lord's Day as a rubbish day. It's where they throw in the garbage. It's where their minds check out. And it doesn't become a refreshing time because they're not prepared to listen to the Lord. They're not prepared. They've got everything else going on. You know what would be amazing is if you took time to wake up early in the morning, to wake up, get the sleepies out of your eyes. For those of you who live off coffee, to get some coffee, to wake up and to read your Bible and pray before you got here. Just that prep work makes your heart ready to go. You're not ready to go if you just come squealing on two wheels into the parking lot and rush right in. You're not ready. There is a prep time. There is a forethought that goes to it so you can get the refreshing you need. And so how should we approach the Lord's Day? It should be a day of reverence. It should be a day of refreshing, a day of rest. It should be a day of remembrance. A day of remembrance. If you look with me in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. We have the Ten Commandments given again. Now, if you remember, as you're turning to Deuteronomy chapter number 5, remember in Exodus chapter 20, the first word of that commandment is remember. You know why God put the word remember there? Because this is the day, this is the commandment that we're most likely to forget. You know, you usually don't need to be reminded not to kill murder, not to commit murder. That's usually not something that you have to be reminded of. I love my wife so much that I don't need a reminder, a little index card in my mirror that says, do not commit adultery. I mean, that's just not something that I have to be reminded of. All right, today you're not going to commit adultery. But you know what the commandment we're most likely to forget is? To keep the Sabbath. To take this day and to set it aside. It's the day that we're most likely to set aside out of all the ten. That is the one we're most guilty of breaking. And it reveals our heart, how we approach this day. Is God worth it to take this day? So it should be a day of remembrance. It's a day that we need to remember to keep. But notice as Deuteronomy chapter 5, we see some more information in this telling of the Ten Commandments. Notice with me in verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days that shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thy ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that's within thy gates, that thy manservant and maidservant may rest as well as thee. And notice this, and remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God had brought thee thence through a mighty hand and by an outstretched out arm. Therefore, so because of this, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. This is a day of remembrance. This is a day to remember where we were at before and what God has done in our life. For the Israelites, they were slaves in Egypt, and God brought them out by His power, by His mighty power. And they to remember the Sabbath, to remember that where we were at and what God has done for us now. As we celebrate the Lord's Day every week, we remember that we're sinners. And that Christ rose again. He was died and was buried, but He didn't stay buried. He rose again. And we have victory in Jesus. He has washed away my sins. He has forgiven me. I'm a sinner deserving of hell. And what this principle of setting aside a day, it should be a day where I remember I'm a low down rotten sinner. And there's no good thing in me except for Christ Jesus, who did a wonderful work. You know what happens when we don't go to church for a while? When we miss the Sabbath day? And some of you who've had to miss church over time, I remember times like this. We could tell that our hearts start getting colder. We start getting pulled away because we don't have the reminder that Jesus saved us and we're sinners. What did Jesus do in our life? We need that day to be reminded. Otherwise, we get prideful, we get cold, we get calloused, we walk away from the Lord. We need reminded of it. That's why this day, setting it aside, is so important. We need this. You know, this whole thing about the Sabbath isn't about God. God doesn't need to rest anymore. It's not talking about that. God doesn't need to worship something else. God's not distracted. This is for us. We need to have our minds clear. We need to be refreshed. We need to remember. You know, the thing about Christianity today is that we have a faith of convenience instead of a faith of commitment. I honestly believe, and it's been proven time and time again, that some people who say, well, I'm going to go to church if I feel like it, you'll never feel like it. I'll go to church if I have time. You'll never have time. But when you make a decision, I'm going to go to church as often as I possibly can. If the doors are open, we're going to be there. It is amazing how aches and pains go away. Now, I'm not saying that you're relieved of pain 100% because you go to church. But you understand those things don't hinder you when you make a decision. I am going to go whether I hurt or not. I'm going to go regardless of. I'm going to set this aside and I'm going to put it there. That's an idea of a faith of commitment. This is important enough for me to have it. We all know people who said they come to church today if they felt like it. If they're awake, if they're whatever else. We have a faith of convenience and not a commitment. And how we treat the Lord's Day is a revelation of our heart towards the Lord. That this is a day of reverence. It's a day of rest. It's also a day of remembrance. But there's something else. It's a day of rejoicing. You understand? This is a day where I remember Jesus has won the victory. This is great. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And I know that He is living. No matter what men may say, I hear His voice of mercy. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Oh, it's a day of rejoicing. This isn't a funeral service. We should have a good time in church. We should sing. You should have smiles on your face when you're singing these things. You should be glad that you're in church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is a day of rejoicing. You understand, there's many church services that have gone on today that are dead and lifeless and formal, and people have no clue what's going on. That shouldn't be. Church should be full of life because we have a risen Savior. It's a day of rejoicing. Yes, God is good. We have answers to prayer. This is a day of rejoicing. So how do we approach the Lord's Day? How do we approach this day? It should be a day of reverence. It should be a day of rest. It should be a day of remembrance. It's also a day of rejoicing. You know, it's not a big deal to come to church when I've got a real Savior who's alive today. It's not a big deal at all. This is a day I get to remember what a great God I have. This is good. And so we understand this is an important commandment. And even though we do not keep the Sabbath, we honor the Lord's Day. And it should be a special day to us. It should be something we look forward to. It should be a day that is different than the rest of the days. But that's also up to us, that we have to guard it. We have to keep it. We have to set it aside. We have to make it a day where it's not catch up. This is a day where God has our attention. And we're set aside for His use so He can get a hold of us. Because it's dealing with our heart towards the Lord. You know, there's so many people who don't believe they have to go to church. And it's not against us, it's against the Lord. It reveals their heart. As for me and my house, we're going to show up because we want to honor the Lord. It's all about Him. So again, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. I'm not preaching to the Sunday morning crowd. I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. I understand. This is the one we get amens on. This is the one that you say, well, I'm here. And so I'm not looking for conviction. I'm not looking for someone to tear and say, oh man, I've sinned and messed up. All this is a reminder of how important this day is. And that we have to guard it. We have to protect it. We have to keep it. Because this is the Lord's day. And there's a principle that God has given to us for the purpose that we pay attention to Him and He gives us the refreshing and the rest that we need. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.